Welcome back to another episode of Clash at the Roundtable. I'm your host, Ro. And today, we got a couple talks for you. But first, we're going to kick it off with this Colorado versus TCU game that was the talk of the town last week, or well, this past weekend, with TCU being a 20-point favorite and Colorado just spanked that ass. You know, the final score for those people that didn't pay attention to it was 45-42. Colorado also, well, as you should know, Colorado won. With Travis Hunter really just going ham. Like, he, what, offensively has 60 snaps. Defensively has 79. Caught 11 catches for 119 yards, 3 tackles, 1 interception. And honestly, could have did more damage. Like, I feel like, and not even much feel like, but you could also see, and Deion even pointed out that, you know, they missed him on two passes. I know one, you know, deep pass, he got overthrown, I want to say, if I ain't mistaken. And then you had one in the end zone where he was supposed to come down with that touchdown. I was like, oh, man. Like, literally, Travis Hunter ate that whole game. And it's crazy, like, offensively and defensively. And if you've seen post game, it was like, bro, where did you get this energy from? Because, like, the energy that you had to play over 100-something snaps, bro, I would have been tired going both ways on offense and defense. And then you also got to look at it. He only got a bit of rest, you know, when it came on, you know, special teams. But further, he stayed on the field the whole damn game. And I'm be honest, like, he really stayed on the feel the whole game. Offensively, I mean, Colorado took it to Buffalo. Well, not Buffalo, but Colorado took it to TCU. Honestly, I felt that it should have been a shootout the way it was. But hey, you know, we get what we get. Let's look at what Shador Sanders did. Like, had 38 for 47, 510 yards, which the 510 yards is a school record. So, like, he was already eating with 4 TDs, got 3 wide receivers over 100 yards in that particular game against TCU. And, I mean, he was a monster. He was very effective. I did see, like, where offensively they couldn't – I wouldn't say they couldn't, but at times the running game did not look as crisp as the passing game. Like, people that was sitting there saying, oh, well, Shador Sanders could not – quote unquote, play on this type of level. You know, he needs to stay on HBCU level and stuff like that. Well, I guess y'all eating those words. And I know it's just week one and it's a TCU team, but you gotta look at, this is the same TCU team that was in the national championship last year. And even though they did get the brakes beat off them, coming back into this season, they recruited, got some people from, you know, all over in transfer portal. One in particular that, you know, was, I wouldn't say a fan, well, you can say a fan favorite, the running back Sanders from, you know, Alabama. So they was loaded. They got loaded up. They loaded back up on TCU. So, like, I don't think they really had that much talent that fell off. But, you know, with prime time, like, that turnover that he, well, not turnovers, but, well, yeah, you can't say the roster turnover, it was really major for that school. Because, like, yet again, last year there was 1-11, if I ain't mistaken. So you taking a 1-11 team and you already just got one win, so you're tied. So, I mean, hey, you know, you can't really beat that. So, like, honestly, I will say this, like, the adversity that team faced it from the offseason all the way up until now, you know, has been unlike any other team, you know, you could probably say, because, like, you get a new head coach, you know, and not only that, you have over, I want to say, 80 or more players leave in transfer portals, and then you have more players come in, you know, to replace those 80 or so leaving to come in and stuff like that. And to have your culture change, those who did stay have basically a culture shock, you know, because, like, anybody has ever played any type of sports, you know, whether it's been at the high school level, college level, NFL, when you have it where your, I say head coach or coaches in general, you know, it's changed, it becomes, I want to say hard, but you have to learn new plays. You have to get used to the cadence of different offenses, how it's called. Same with defense, how they want you in defense, because they might not run the same defense and they might not run the same offense. You know, that's just the reality of having a new coach in general. And then you also look at it like they're looking to change. They're looking to see who wants to be there and who doesn't want to be there. So, like, to see that goes on, and then also with Deion also having a surgery in the offseason, you know, a lot of people didn't know about that. So, like I said, that team faces a lot of adversity, and to see them eat the – well, not even much eat – ate the way they ate was crazy. Then you had the running back, and I'm be honest with you, Dylan Edwards, over 159 yards, 4 TDs, 11 touches, 27 yards per catch. Like, seriously, that dude was like almost like as much as Travis Hunter was an X factor, and Shador literally lit up the like literally lit up everything. Dylan Edwards was like one of those other pieces, just like, hey, here I am, don't forget about me. And arguably, what I took from that TCU and Colorado game, Colorado needs to get their defense situated, because honestly, I want to say right now they have a bend but don't break type defense. So, like, you can put up some points on that defense. However, they're going to come up and stop, you know, get you some stops here and there where, you know, that offense, get the ball back to the offense where the offense is going to be able to click and stuff like that. However, I will say this, if they want to go a little bit farther, you know, far as getting into the playoffs, college playoffs, as y'all know, this year, it'll be the last year of only 4. Then next year, I want to say, is a total of 8 or 12, something like that. But however, you know, we're rolling with this year. If they want to advance farther in there, you got to make sure, you got to build up that defense. You got to make that defense stout, where it's like a Georgia or your Alabama. And I would even go as far as one point, your Clemson, you know, type defense, where it's like, hey, we're here, we're going to hit you in your mouth, and there's nothing you can fucking do about it. But, you know, nonetheless, I mean, hats off to Deion and those boys. Like, if y'all thought that, like, hey, this team wasn't going to do nothing, you're sadly mistaken. Another game, a couple of other games that I seen that was just like your Oklahoma and Arkansas State, that was extremely blowout, 73-0. You know, ass kicking that. That, and it is crazy because, like, and the reason why I'm laughing, because, like, one of my friends, you know, basically is an Oklahoma fan, and he was bragging about the fact that they was kicking Arkansas State ass, and I was just like, bro, that's not even much a real good team for y'all to be like, ah, yes, we beat their ass. Same thing with Ole Miss. A lot of people like, ah, Ole Miss is looking good, but come on, 73, like, you're supposed to beat Mercer. If you didn't beat Mercer, something was wrong with you in that picture, and that's just in my opinion. Another one, I want to say it was the Oregon Ducks. Like, they put up 81 points. Like, it was some huge games that was just, like, putting up points, and it's just like, ah, that's kind of ridiculous. But they only gave up 7, which, it is what it is with them. Alabama versus Tennessee, Middle Tennessee. Honestly, going into that game, I was like, ah, because I am an Alabama fan. I was like, oh, man, with Jalen Miro, you know, last time we did see them as Alabama fans, we know what happened. We lost. You know, well, no, I don't think we lost, but he didn't really play that good. Well, really, he didn't play good at all that game. And that's just me trying to be nice with it. Jalen Monroe, he was ass that game that we seen him, you know, for Bryce Bryce Young. But so going into this one, I was like, I want to see what we're gonna do at this quarterback position, because like that is kind of like the unknown for Alabama right now. Defensively, I can say like stout. We had a couple of injuries, two of our starters, but I believe that both of them are okay from what I could, from what I've gathered and stuff like that, heading into this week when we go against Texas. General, I would say like a lot of people's like, you know, we should be hyped. You know, we're good. I wouldn't be like, hey, Jalen Monroe's quote unquote the answer, because like yet again, this is Middle Tennessee. I will hold my, you know, thought process on him, you know, when he goes against Texas this coming weekend. Honestly, you know, passing the ball, getting three TDs, two rushing touchdowns, and one of those plays where he got the touchdown, his first touchdown off of, you know, loose ball, picked it up, ran it for a touchdown. I was rarely satisfied with him. You know, I still want more to see what, if we get into a shootout, can he use his arms instead of his legs and stuff like that. He does remind me of a bigger Jalen Hurts type player. That's pretty much it with him. Like, I really do feel like he's built like a Jalen Hurts. As people know, you know, Jalen Hurts was, quote-unquote, our quarterback back in the day, and he is starting for the Philadelphia Eagles. And at one point when he was with us, like, he could pass, but at the same time, he couldn't read the coverages that well. And he was quick, but you can see that Jalen Monroe is a little bit quicker than him. I think they might have the same arm power. I don't know. I couldn't really tell, but like time will tell with that. Hopefully his Jalen Monroe's decision making has got better than what it was last year off of one start. We'll see come this Tennessee, well not Tennessee, but this Texas game. Quickly with Tennessee, I love to see what their quarterback did this past weekend. I really think that was good. They look like they have a three-headed monster. Georgia, they started off kind of slow in the first half. But the second half, you can see that they kicked it up, which I think they played down to the team that they was playing to. But at the same time, the first half, you could tell that Georgia wasn't playing Georgia football, in my opinion. I don't know if they like, hey, well, you know, we're full over here and we don't have to worry about them because we're the two-time defending champs. But, and then they also have an easy-ass schedule. You know, that's just my opinion. Of course, if you ask a Georgia fan, they're going to be like, oh, no, we ain't got an easy schedule. We're good. Woo-woo-woo-woo. Nah, y'all got an easy schedule. Y'all got a cupcake schedule. So, like, every team that is not, quote-unquote, your cakewalk teams, you should dominate. I feel like they might have a hard time with Tennessee, depending on what Tennessee team shows up. And if Tennessee has their quarterback, Milton, show up and do what he does. You know, if not, then, you know, okay, that's not going to be a good game for Tennessee. Florida, I don't know. It depends on what Florida team shows up. Auburn might give them a run, or, you know, Ole Miss. But I don't really see them, you know, being tested until the SEC championship game. And that's just my honest opinion. That depends if Alabama can make it there, because we also seen where LSU laid a big goose egg in the second half. The first half, they start off very, very strong, especially with Florida State, going against Florida State. However, yeah, they didn't look too good in that second half. You know, Florida State literally did whatever they wanted to do in that particular game, beating them 45-24, which is sad because it's like, man, y'all was ranked number 5. And everybody was hyped about you, but at the same time, it is a Brian Kelly-led team. And you can't really expect too much from a Brian Kelly-led team. And, I mean, I get it. Last year, there was an SEC championship, which I digress. I don't think they should have been there. I think Alabama should have been there. But, hey, that's just me being biased on that one. But a Brian Kelly-led team, yeah, nah. It's not worth the hype. They're due to make mistakes. And anybody that's played in the SEC or know SEC football knows that you cannot, and I mean you cannot, come out the gate slow. Because if you come out the gate slow and you're like, all right, well, we'll lose this game, that game. Man, you lose one or two games, you're pretty much mathematically out of the running to get to the SEC championship. I'm just going to be honest. Like, so LSU, they have a hill to climb. And I mean, they really do have a hill to climb, you know, and hopefully they're able to climb it. But then again, you never know. This is the SEC that they're playing in. The last game that I'm going to talk about from this past weekend was number 9 Clemson at the time versus Duke. And honestly, you would think that Clemson should have walked the dogs on a Duke team. And I will say this, like, honestly, in the first half, you're like, all right, cool. It was basically a defensive battle. And you're like, all right, they should be good. You know, their offense is going to, you know, start turning and stuff like that. They went out and got a new offensive coordinator. And, you know, he was very, covered. You know, a lot of teams that was looking for an offensive coordinator wanted him. I know Alabama wanted him as well, but I'm glad that we didn't get him because, like, if that's what the offense was showing up and didn't even much put up any points, the defense put up points, looked very terrible. Duke, in the first half, they looked it really – I want to say they looked it really sloppy, but at the same time, they did look sloppy at times, you know, turning the ball over twice. Really fumbling it. One on a punt return and then trying to get in field goal range at the end of the second quarter. You know, I had to think about whether it was the first or second quarter. But fumbling that and then coming into the half, well, coming out the half, I mean, literally Duke defense turned up, their offense turned up, and they really shut down Clemson team. And honestly, I don't really expect too much from the ACC as a whole, but Clemson is one of those teams that you're like, just a couple of years ago, y'all was compared to a Alabama team where it's like, hey, this could be the quote-unquote new dynasty. They could be running things and stuff like that. And I've talked with a lot of people since then and prior that was like, yeah, Clemson, they're not really – I wouldn't really say they're the top echelon of college football. You know, they're just having a good run because they don't play anybody, which typically, let's be real, the ACC was weak at one point, and there still is weak, you know. So I wouldn't really take them serious, you know, now anyway. But back then, it reminds me of – what Georgia's doing now, where it's like, okay, we expect this team to be here. And, you know, a lot of people saying, well, Dabo Sweeney might be the next Nick Saban or whatever the case may be. And he fell off. And I'll be honest, he fell off. Like, honestly, when you look at coaches, and I'm going to be real with y'all real quick. I honestly feel like with Georgia, compared to Georgia and Clemson, I don't think Kirby is going to fall off, you know, the way Dabo team is falling off. Because, like, Dabo teams is like they've taken a step back each and every year. They're not as dominant as they once was when you had your Deshaun Watson and stuff like that. Whereas Georgia, they was built on defense. And Kirby, one thing about Kirby, he's a defensive mind coach. So expect year in and year out for that defense to be on point. I'm not even much joking with you. Expect that defense to be on point, because if not, to me, that's not a Kirby-led team, in my opinion. Let's go ahead and get into some of these next week matchups on the docket. Before we get into those, I want to say the polls came out, the new polls for the AP Top 25 came out, and Colorado's ranked now. They went from not being ranked to being ranked number 22. Georgia, they're still hold number one. Alabama moved up a couple spots. Florida State moved up a couple spots as well. Honestly, for me as a fan, I'm gonna be honest with y'all guys. I don't really look at the polls or worry about the polls too funny around this period of time, because honestly, this is nothing till the committee starts voting, and that's when I really start worrying about, all right, where we ranked at? Can we be, are we ranked in the top four? Because like, that's where I want to see my team, quote unquote Alabama. I want to see Alabama in the top four each and every time they vote. Versus now, like, yeah, if you rank us number one, or if you rank us in the top 10 or in the top 15, I really wouldn't feel no type of way, because guess what? What it is to worry about. Now, the teams that we do play, I would like for them to be in the top 25. That way, when it's time for ranking time, you know, incredible wins and stuff like that, you will see like, all right, well, they play more top 10, top 25 teams, or you know, whatever the case may be. And that's what you want when you're looking at your college teams in general. So, you know, and I'll go back to saying Colorado. With Colorado, if they was to run the table and stuff like that, and that will also mean be a USC team, which USC, they do have a quarter, well, not saying they have a quarterback, but because they do in Caleb Williams, but a defense just as similar as Colorado, a bend but don't break defense. So, like, you could expect a shootout with that in that particular game. But if a Colorado was to run the table and they would have wins against a USC and a TCU that's ranked in the, you know, the top 25, they could arguably make, and I'm not saying like, hey, speaking into this, but they could make, if they made that run, they would be able to be qualified. I won't say qualified, but should be qualified to be in the top four and stuff like that. You know, that's just in my opinion. But let's go ahead and get into these games. Thursday match, Louisville versus Murray State, which Louisville should win. Indiana versus Indiana State, of course, Indiana. Illinois versus Kansas. I'll go with the Jayhawks. The matchups that I want to see, you got Georgia versus Ball State, which Georgia should dominate. Ohio State versus Youngstown State, Ohio should dominate. Penn State versus Delaware, again, Penn State should win. Notre Dame should beat North Carolina. NC State, Utah versus Baylor, I'll give it to Utah. Troy versus Kansas State. Kansas State, they should win that one. Colorado versus Nebraska, I'm not really impressed with Nebraska, so I'm going to go with Colorado on this one. You got Georgia Tech versus South Carolina State. We're going to go with South Carolina State. Clemson versus Charleston Southern, I do feel like Clemson will have a bounce back game. You know, hopefully they do. If they do get beat by this, is like even more why Clemson should not be ranked in the top 25. They're just being ranked in the top 25 based off of their name and previous success. Michigan versus UNLV, which I have Michigan going over them. Ohio State versus Tulane, I'm going to have to go with not Ohio State, but Ole Miss versus Tulane. I'll go with Ole Miss. Texas A&M versus Miami, I am going to go with an upset here, and I'm going to go with Miami. Iowa versus Iowa State, I'll go with Iowa. Michigan State versus Richmond. Michigan State should win on that, being that it shouldn't be no upset. Washington versus Tallulah. I'll go Washington. Tennessee versus Austin Perry, which Tennessee should win that hands down. North Carolina State versus Appalachian State. And before I even tell you, which I'm going to go with North Carolina, if anybody's seen the press, well, not the press conference, but where, you know, at the end of the game, coaches go shake hands and stuff like that. If you looked at the South Carolina game and North Carolina game, that thing was crazy because Mack Brown choked the shit out of South Carolina State. Well, not South Carolina State, but South Carolina head coach. And I got, like, I was like, yo, are you serious? Like, you're literally choking that man. So that was wild to me. Next up, you have Oklahoma versus SMU, which you got to go with Oklahoma on that one. Duke versus Lafayette. I'm going to go with Duke on that one. They do have a good defense. I assume that they will put the dogs on them. Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati. Of course, I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. Texas versus Alabama. This is going to be what you call your game that you're going to want to see this Saturday. But I'm going to, as you already know, I'm going to go with Alabama on this one. Got to. I would say this, if I wouldn't go with them, because I'm not really surprised with a Texas offense. I think with Texas, their schemes would get a lot of their players open. So I think if our defense could play sound and our offense could capitalize and not make mistakes like we did last week, I honestly think that we can win this game hands down with no problem like we had problems last year. I think last year with all those penalties and stuff like that, I don't think that will happen this game. Nick Saban's not going to have that going again. Oregon versus Texas Tech. I'm going to go with Oregon on that one. Florida versus McKenzie. Okay, of course I'm going to go with Florida. Wisconsin versus Washington State. I'm going to go with Wisconsin. LSU versus Grambling. Honestly, I'm going to pick an upset. I'm going to go with Grambling. Even though LSU, you would think LSU would handle Grambling, but with Hugh Jackson as the head coach for Grambling, I do expect Grambling to come in there with a little bit of fight and make it a little bit harder for LSU to just walk away with that game. And plus, I don't like Brian Kelly either. So, yeah. Florida State versus Southern Miss. Okay, I'm going to go with Florida State on that. Oregon State versus UC Davis. I'm going to go with Oregon State on that. USC versus Stanford. I think that's going to be a shootout, but I'm going to go with USC on that one. And that's all the matchups for, you know, college football this week. As y'all know, NFL football is back, and it starts off this Thursday, where you have Detroit Lions versus Kansas City. A few things with that Kansas City games. If you're quote unquote a fantasy football player, which a lot of people are, the crazy thing that I would say is this, because it starts off, not only does this Thursday starts off a lot of things, but it starts off the third year of Clash Fantasy. So hopefully, and last year I won it. So hopefully I can repeat, be the first to repeat. And if not, hopefully Boss can win this one and get him one underneath the belt. I would love to see somebody from Clash win it again, you know, hopefully. But heading into this Kansas City game, you have Kelce, who just injured his hyperextended his knee, and they did some x-rays. They don't think it's an ACL tear or anything like that, so he should be good. I don't think he's going to play that game. And then you also have Chris Jones holding out. So you have I really feel like Detroit is going to come in there and beat a Kansas City team. I really do, because with those injuries, well, with the injury with Travis Kelce, yet again, you have it where who's Mahomes going to throw to? And then, you know, if he doesn't have his go-to guy on there, you have to probably go with, I wouldn't say have to, but you might likely go with Detroit. And then, you know, with out there, big defensive end where Chris Jones, where you can move him all around that defensive line. And he's very disruptive. Without him being on the field this Thursday, yeah, I think Detroit is going to upset Kansas City and ruin their quote-unquote Super Bowl presentation. Well, the banner, basically. Then this Sunday you have Carolina versus Atlanta. I'm going with Carolina because I do think Carolina has a better QB, even though Atlanta has better weapons. And they got their defense is kind of like the same, in my opinion. Cincinnati versus Cleveland. I'm going to go with Cincinnati over Cleveland. Jacksonville is at Indianapolis. I will have to go with Jacksonville. I do think Trevor and them is going to ball out. Tampa Bay versus Minnesota. I do expect Minnesota to beat Tampa Bay. I don't trust Baker Mayfield. That's just me. Bite me if you're a Baker Mayfield fan. New Orleans versus Tennessee. I want to go with New Orleans. I'm going to give Derek Carr a chance to be great. You got San Francisco at Pittsburgh. Even though, and this is another thing, you know, Bosa's not going to be there for San Francisco. However, I do like the fact that they do have a good defense. It's yet to be seen how they're going to, you know, because I do know they lost a lot of pieces on their back end, and not with Bosa not being there, but you also snatch, I want to say, Harvard or something like that from Philly. So I'm leaning toward San Fran, but it depends on their QB, because like I know Brock, he's coming back from a crazy injury, but I don't trust Pittsburgh quarterback. So yeah, I'm gonna go with San Fran. Arizona versus Washington. I think this is gonna be a cupcake day for Washington, because Arizona is selling the fucking farm. Only person that's probably left on that farm is Buda Baker. And if I was Buda Baker, I'm calling my agent, get me the fuck out of Arizona. If you don't, hurry the fuck up or you're fired, and I'm gonna go get somebody else to get me the fuck out of Arizona. Houston versus Baltimore. I think that's going to be a good one, but I feel like Baltimore should come out on top. Green Bay versus Chicago. I like Chicago in this one. I don't really trust Jordan Love. I don't care who he was behind. Jordan Love, nah, I can't. Mm-mm. Nah, I got to go with Chicago. Chicago has too many weapons offensively, and if Justin Fields did not ball out with all these weapons, they're going to wind up getting rid of him. Mark my words. Las Vegas versus Denver. I would have to go with Denver on this one. I don't really trust Las Vegas. And I think Chandler Jones, he might be holding out as well. And even though they got Mason Crosby, but having Chandler Jones and Mason Crosby on the field at the same time, harassing that Russell Wilson-led offense is better to have than just, oh, well, we're just going to have Mason Crosby out there. But, you know, I'm going to go with Denver on this one. Philly versus New England. I'm going to have to go with Philly. I don't really trust New England right now. And it's not that I don't trust Mac Jones or anything like that. I feel as though that they don't have a true number one receiver, which is going to revert them to running the ball. And Philly is very stout up front. They're very, very stout up front. Miami versus Los Angeles. I do feel like Miami is going to win that game. And possibly Jalen might be playing in that game. Well, no, they're going against Los Angeles. My bad. I thought that was the Rams. But Yeah, I'm still going to go with Miami over the Chargers. The Rams versus Seattle. Of course, I'm a Seahawks fan, so I'm going to have to go with, you know, my team. I do feel like we're the better team than the Rams, and that's just me. Dallas versus New York. I like the way New York has built in the offseason. I've been telling people, like, New York is going to be one of those teams that sneaks, that's going to catch a lot of people by surprise this year in that division, and I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to them. However, with Dallas, and I hate to say this, with Dallas tuning up the way they did, I do expect Dallas to win this game. I hope Dallas don't make me bite my words on this, because I really don't want to go with the Cowboys, but they do have a stacked team. And for Monday, you have the Buffalo versus New York Jets. I'm going to go with the Jets. I'm leaning with the Jets because I know Buffalo lost a lot of pieces and they couldn't pay a lot of their players that they wanted to. So, and defensively, I do think they have, a need at the middle linebacker position. So, like, I expect Aaron Rodgers to eat in the middle, in the middle in that area. But that's pretty much it far as football goes. Hopefully, y'all have a wonderful day, whatever time y'all listen to this. And not only that, peace, love, and positivity. I'm out.